Just from a military perspective, Colonel, so much to unpack here, and I really want to spend the bulk of the show because I think this is the biggest story right now, and I really want to deep dive this separate from the normal propaganda and like the CNN, Fox News sort of talking points about all of this and cut through all of it. Before we get into all of that, though, the airspace question from a military, a strategic military perspective, when he closes down the airspace, what does that signal to you as a colonel? Well, what do you think is coming next?
Yeah, well, it signals that he's just basically just clearing the decks and saying, all right, well, whenever I decide to take action, I want to make sure that there's no possibility for civilians to be hit or any kind of collateral damage. And then, of course, it's also simultaneously a very strong message to Maduro himself to say, hey, no, I'm deadly serious about this. We've already had several iterations of B-2 bomber overflights, practice runs, et cetera. So it seems to be building and ramping up. And so I'm sure that that's the primary purpose of this was, unfortunately, I think probably the protecting civilians is a secondary issue, but primarily I think it's to communicate the seriousness of this, that President Trump is saying basically leave, or pretty soon it's going to not be a dry run, but a hot run. And I think that's probably what was intended, and we'll see what happens.
So what do you think, is happening right now at the Pentagon? We know that President Trump in just a few short hours is going to be meeting with his team to make the next steps here. It seems like all of this is coming to a head, could be imminent. I mean, I don't use that word lightly. It seems like it's imminent. What do you sense?
Yeah, that's exactly my feel. I mean, my sincere hope is that this will just be much ado about nothing, and that we'll take a lot of actions and a lot of words, and that no violence follows. I mean, that's what I hope. But I, you know, as we always said in the military, hope is not a method. So I doubt. My gut tells me that it's not going to be avoided. And you ask about what the Pentagon was doing. I mean, they're doing what they always do, is preparing for action. And if the president says that this is something he's considering, then what we can expect based on all the things that have happened, all the firepower that's been moved into the region over a period of time, is that they have been conducting rehearsals. They've been saying, all right, here's what we're going to do. They've been planning it, probably doing computer simulations, just over and over rehearsing what the different parts would be, war gaming. What happens if this doesn't work right? What if that happens instead? What are the different reactions that the other side could do? And then what would be our counteractions? And then they probably just continue to war game that out. And if they need to change any assets or resources, they'll get that. That's what I expect the military to be doing. But that's just, you know, the operational aspect. The bigger questions to me is, where are you going with this? What is the attainable military objective? And we can't fail to also ask the legality questions. How is this in conjunction with the United States Constitution, with the 1973 War Powers Act? You cannot possibly rationally make the argument that we have been attacked, which the administration has tried to do. We have been attacked by these narco-terrorists because we designated that name on them. Somehow that makes it okay to just kill them whenever we feel like it. There's no truth to it. It's paper thin, but yet that appears to be what we've been doing. I mean, I know you're going to talk about the boat strikes, et cetera, separately, but they are definitely connected with this. And the same kind of mentality that went into that seems to be getting ready to go into a much larger strike that there's even less justification for. And what are you going to do if it goes sideways? What are you going to do if it's not a nice, clean, easy operation like apparently Lindsey Graham and several of the other folks who are for this are saying? It's going to be a layup, Lindsey Graham said a couple of weeks ago. It's not, and it could go disastrously wrong. What are you going to do then? This could get us sucked into something that we're just not prepared for.
Yeah, I mean, a lot to unpack there, and I want to go through each of these points that you just brought up. They're all great. But on the last point, the Lindsey Graham point, that this is going to be a cakewalk, a no-brainer, easy as pie, you've warned for years that Washington underestimates the cost, the complexity, the sacrifice, the duration of these military interventions, whether it's Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever it is. Do we want to administer Venezuela? Like, do we want to be in control of Venezuela? And I don't know that they have any kind of an exit strategy for this.
We barely have an entrance strategy. I don't see any right. evidence that there's an exit strategy, because for that to even exist, you have to know what you want to accomplish and what the ultimate objective is. What do you want the end state to look like? I think other than Maduro gone, I don't think there is one. I mean, there certainly hadn't been anything communicated. And so what that means is that they'll be doing it on the fly, like so many of these other missions that you just referenced here a second ago, that just is anguishing to me. Because how many times do we have to relearn the same lesson? That if you don't have an objective, if you don't know where you want to end up before you take step one, then you're going to end up just drifting around, and you're going to end up killing a lot of people on the ground. Almost certainly you're going to get some Americans killed for no value to our country. And it's certainly, at the best case, going to cost a lot of money. And I don't see it really turning out in any kind of positive thing for the United States. And by the way, you also have to keep in mind how this, what this looks like to our reputation throughout the world, especially in our hemisphere. This makes us look like the thugs, the bullies. I hate to use those terms with my country, but that's what it makes us look like, that we used to condemn when we even talked about what China might do, et cetera, what the Russians might do. We are about to do something that has no justification, and everybody in the region knows this is a pure power play, that President Trump just doesn't like Maduro, doesn't want him in power, is unwilling to take the many deals that Maduro has allegedly offered, which could have forestalled violence. It just looks like President Trump wants to get into a war, and as you've said several times on your show, he campaigned on not doing that, and now it looks like we're literally on the edge of doing it. And again, I just hope that somebody on his inner circle says, Mr. President, don't do this.
Well, you bring up a couple of great points. And of course, back in 2024, President Trump was pretty forthright in his discussions about Venezuela. This video has now kind of gone viral over the past 24 hours, where the president is saying, you know, during my first term, this shouldn't have happened. We're now buying oil from a narco-terrorist, a dictator. And if I were president, and what we were trying to do was, you know, basically have regime change where we would get this oil for free. And so it seems like that's the plan. As someone in our chat room just said, the plan is liberate the oil, liberate the oil. And Representative Maria Salazar this morning on Fox and Friends basically let the cat out of the bag, confirming this, you know, plan is all for oil. Watch.
This is not going to be hard. 80% of the Venezuelans voted for the opposition. You have 8 million Venezuelans in exile. We're talking about the largest reserves of oil in the world that will be doing business with the American oil companies. And that is something that I have made very sure that they understand. American companies in Venezuela for the next 100 years.
All right. So that's the plan. Yeah, you heard it here. She says you heard it right here. Like, that's what's going to happen. It's imminent. This is coming. This is about to happen. A United States member of Congress letting the cat out of the bag that this is all about oil, just like it was about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Now it's about narco boats in Venezuela. It's not about that. It's about the oil in both counts, right?
Where is the justification for that? And I'm frankly sick and tired of hearing all this statement about, oh, Maduro was not legally elected. Well, okay, maybe they are, maybe they wasn't. What does that matter to you? What does it matter to us? We don't have the authority. No one said, okay, America, you get to patrol the world, and if somebody doesn't get elected according to your standards, you can kill them. You can drive them out. There is no such authority, of course. That's something for the Venezuelan people to figure out. If 80% of them genuinely voted for the opposition and Maduro kept power, that's something they have to solve inside their borders within their country. It is not ours to do, and to insert ourselves into this anyway, means that there is no rule of law, Clayton. There's no rule of law if we take this, because then it's just power politics and power dissemination that we do whatever the hell we want to do, and you either get out of the way or you get killed. I'm sorry to be that firm about it, but that's what it will be if we take this action. There is no legal or moral justification for this.
Wait, so in 2020, when we had the problems we had in our election, Dominion voting machines and all of that, Like Venezuela should have been involved in our elections, right? I mean, they should have been.
If only they had thought about that in time. You're right. They really solved that problem.
And when they installed Kamala Harris.
Right. I mean, where was Venezuela? Like, they have a right to be meddling in our elections. Like, what? This is not what the American people signed up for. I mean, militarily, though, Colonel, what do you think, as the Pentagon is ramping up, they're planning all of this from a land invasion perspective? I mean, we've heard, like, what a disaster that's going to be. And we're hearing reports on the Venezuelan side, what they're preparing for is a guerrilla style scattering across the country approach to trying, you know, thwart our invasion here. What do you make of that strategy? What are you hearing on that side of things? And how disastrous would it be?
If they have paid any attention at all to Afghanistan over our disastrous 20 years, they'll see that we came in there and after just a few months, literally destroyed and annihilated the Taliban government and military, destroyed them utterly. But we didn't kill every individual because they did. They scattered throughout the mountains and stuff. And so over time, they were able to get together in these bands, and then they started this guerrilla warfare, which, of course, they had done with the Mujahideen under the Soviet Union, et cetera, which we helped provide for. And if these guys are paying any attention at all, and if anybody has looked at the terrain inside Venezuela, it is absolutely premium territory to conduct that kind of an operation. And you are just begging yourself to get into another insurgency that you can't win. And for the same reasons we couldn't win the one in Afghanistan. And we've got such a small amount of troops in the meantime. Let me touch on this for a second. There's a lot of firepower, a lot of jets with the Gerald R. Ford and several missile carriers. Destroyers, you can blow up a lot of stuff. You can kill a lot of people, but there's a really small, I think less than 10,000 total troops, and I think a lot fewer of that of Marines that can actually do anything on the ground. You can seize a location and, you know, maybe you can do a snatch and grab or something like that if you find Maduro, and I can't imagine he would be lightly defended. But you can't invade anything. All you can do is blow a bunch of stuff up. And then what are you going to do, Clayton? What are you going to do if Maduro doesn't get killed or he doesn't give up and he stays hidden somewhere and he goes into the mountains to God knows where and runs this? Now what are you going to do? You put the credibility and the United States on the line. You've killed a lot of people already, and there is no achievable military objective. This could go wrong so many ways, and I hope somebody at the highest levels of our government are telling President Trump this has almost no chance to work out to our advantage, and 100 different ways it could go bad.
Well, you've got these neocons surrounding him. You've got the likes of Senator Lindsey Graham, who plays golf with President Trump, telling him it's going to be a cakewalk. He'll warmongers that are surrounding the president. And then you have officials that came out this morning saying it's not going to stop with Venezuela. It will stop. We'll go to Colombia and Cuba next. So what the hell are we doing?
When I heard that about Colombia, I was just almost sick because, listen, this is not Panama, like somebody has said, well, this will be like Panama or with Noriega, et cetera, from the Bush and the Reagan administration. No, it's not. This is not Panama. And now you're talking about expanding into Colombia? I mean, what the hell is wrong with these people? Have they not paid any attention to what has happened with these guerrilla wars, especially in Colombia, and how that's fought? They have experience of doing that. Now, you want to turn those against Americans? You want to put 50, 60, 100,000 American troops to try and do another no-win situation? And why do you want to add Cuba into that? Why is that even in the conversation? I've been to Cuba, and I went on a religious trip once to try to help the people, and they are so poor. They represent a threat to no one. Why do we even talk about that? That's part, whether it's neocon or somebody else, Clayton, this is part of a sickness that I think has to be purged, or they're going to take us all into a place that's going to be killing a lot of people who wore a uniform like I did, and that just angers me and grieves me.
Well, I mean, forget the Cubans for a second. The Venezuelans pose no threat to us. This whole argument, this total bullshit argument, that they're, you know, narco terrorists are coming to the United States. Give me a break. As Senator Rand Paul pointed out, that's a total lie. And they're using it as a justification to, push us to manufacture consent for war. So none of these people.
Paper thin.
I mean, how many Americans watching right now wake up in the morning like, man, the Venezuelans are coming? No.
Yeah. Or how many family members of our service members wake up and go, golly, if my service member, if my husband, if my father, if my son has to sacrifice his life to die in some mountain in Venezuela, that's good because, wait, there's no because. No, not one of them is going to be. They would be anguished beyond compare if you're going to send them in there to die for nothing. Much less the Venezuelans. I think you said you're going to talk to somebody there. I'll be real eager to watch that. Why should one Venezuelan die? Because we have this obsession with getting Maduro out, or so. It's immoral, flat out.
100%, 100%. And then we're going to talk about the legal implications of this in a moment with Daniel McAdams, from the Ron Paul Institute to dive more deeply into that on the legal side of things, because again, the legal justification now is, oh, you know, they've attacked the United States. Really? Where have they attacked the United States? Hey, seal our border and yes, get rid of illegal immigrants in the United States. Absolutely. They're criminals in the United States. But I will admit, and I think some of the propaganda did work a little bit. Certainly it worked on me a little bit. But I woke up and I now see the lies they were spinning here on this whole thing, which was Tren de Aragua is right around the corner from you. It's the greatest threat. No one ever heard of Tren de Aragua before. Now suddenly it's the largest. No. What about the Mexican drug cartels? What about?
Right.
But no, it's Tren de Aragua is the greatest threat to the United States. Ah, I see what they did. We're not stupid. Colonel Davis, always great to see you. Thrilled that you had a great Thanksgiving. Thank you for this perspective. We're going to be watching this closely because, as you point out, it does look like this is imminent. Thank you, as always, for your analysis. We really appreciate
it. Always a pleasure to be here, Clayton. See you next time.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you so much, Colonel.